Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Erefuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sarah, Shlomo Ben Sarah, Dorit Bat Sarah, and Ruth Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, the elevating of the souls of Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruben Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Zipporah Fegi Bat Liba. Two subjects on this week's program. We're going to be discussing the passing of my beautiful mother, Malka Bat Meir. It's now been over a month, and we're going to discuss what my feelings are and how we look at things over a month after my beautiful mother left this world. And the second subject is the new Israeli government and their disastrous agenda. That will be taking up, of course, most of the program will be about the new Israeli government, which has a terrible agenda, as we said they would. Not that it's worse than the Netanyahu-Likud government. The prior government of Netanyahu and the Likud were in many ways worse even than this government. But the new government, old government, all these politicians in Israel are doing terrible things to Israel, and we're going to discuss exactly what the dangers are and how we should be reacting to those dangers. But first, the passing of my mother, Malka Bat Meir. The period of avelut, mourning, when people are mourning the death of somebody in Judaism, starts with Hashiva, with Shiva. That's the first 7 days, where there are very serious restrictions. You're not allowed to sit on normal chairs, and you basically can't leave the house for any reason, and all types of very severe restrictions. Of course, you can't shave, cut your nails, and you wear torn clothing. Very, very severe restrictions during the first 7 days. Then you have what's called the Shloshim, which is the next 23 days, because 7 days, the first 7 days are over. Now you have 23 more days to make up for the month, because 7 and 23 is 30 days, so that's the first, so that makes up the first month after the passing of somebody, and that's called Shloshim. Shloshim means 30 in Hebrew. And during the Shloshim, again, you still can't shave. That's why I had a beard. You still can't cut your nails. You still can't get a haircut, and there are other restrictions that are on you. You're not supposed to listen to music and go to restaurants or shows or anything festive. All types of restrictions. Now the Shloshim has passed, and now we're into the final mourning period, which is going to be for the whole year. The next 11 months will be the final mourning period. Here we are allowed to shave and cut our hair and cut our nails, but we still can't listen to music and go to restaurants and go to parties and go to festive occasions, because we're still in a state of mourning for a whole year. How do I feel now, over a month after the passing of my mother? Well, I know that some people, after a month, it becomes a little bit easier because time passes by and people get used to it, I guess. People just learn to accept it, as painful as it is. For me, it's not really gotten much easier. I'm still devastated by the loss of my mother, who again was the kindest and most beautiful human being I have ever known. A woman who was an inspiration to everybody around her. A simple person who was happy with the simple things in life. It never took a lot to make her happy. Never. A walk in the park, seeing the beautiful trees and the beautiful birds and the grass, and she would say, what a beautiful world Hashem has made. It didn't take a lot to make her happy. A simple meal. The thing that made her happiest was when she did things for other people, when she worked to help other people. That was what always made her happiest, and that's what she devoted her life to. And so I'm still extremely hurt and in extreme pain over the passing of my mother. It's very, very painful. I can say the same thing for my sister, you know, my mother's daughter, both of her children. love her so much. Because she was so loyal to us and so good to us and so kind to us and such a great example that she set. You know, we're devastated. It's a very, very painful loss. And I miss her every minute of the day. And even when I'm doing other things like this program, I'm thinking about her. She's always in my mind. She's always on my mind. She's always... I just remember burying her. I remember seeing her after she passed away in the hospital and burying her. And it's a haunting thing for me because of how much I loved her. And I still love her. And I'll always love her. And it's really a lesson we should all learn. You know, you can set a good example for people. If you love people and care for people and do things, truly do things in a selfless, idealistic way, you set an example that lives on even after you leave this world. And I can tell you, my mother's example lives on after she left this world. She's in another world now. Bezrat Hashem, in Gan Eden, in Olam HaNeshamot. Gan Eden means paradise, or the Garden of Eden, but it's the Hebrew way of saying paradise. Olam HaNeshamot is the world of souls. Maybe sometime we'll speak about, if you want me to, maybe sometime we'll speak about some of what Chazal say are the different worlds. There are five different worlds. The world we live in, then there's Olam HaNeshamot, then there's Yemot HaMashiach, the world that will exist when the Mashiach, when the Messiah comes. Then the world that will exist with Techiyat HaMetim, with the resurrection of the dead. And then the final world, HaOlam Haba, the final world to come. If you want, sometime we'll speak about some of these things. If you want me to speak about this, if you think it's an interesting topic. I can only say if my mother sees or knows what's going on in the world. Some of Chazal say yes, that the dead do know what's happening with us in this world and do see what we're doing. If she does, the only thing I could say to her is, Ima, I love you with all my heart and all my soul. And I miss you, and I hope that you're in a wonderful place and you're seeing your brother and your husband and your parents and everyone else that passed away that you missed so much in this world, that it hurt you so much when they passed away. I hope you're seeing them, and I hope things are good for you. The second subject we want to deal with is the new Israeli government. Netanyahu and the Likud were defeated in the election. Very narrowly, they came 2 seats short. They could, if they had gotten 2 more Knesset seats, there are 120 seats in the Knesset, so you need 61 to have a majority. They got 59. They had enough seats. They and their and the parties that were aligned with them had enough to bring them 59 votes. If they had gotten just 2 more seats out of the 120, Netanyahu would be prime minister again, and the Likud would be there again. Now, you know, JTF worked against Netanyahu and the Likud, and we initiated what I think was a successful campaign because millions of people saw our videos. We had a campaign going on here for the past several years against the Likud, and millions of people saw our videos. And we're talking about tens of thousands of votes changed the result here. And I believe that the millions who saw our videos, I think it had an effect on a certain number of people, on a certain number of voters. So I think we played a role in getting rid of Netanyahu and the Likud, and I'm proud that we did. And the reason I'm proud that we did is because Netanyahu and the Likud and the phony right, when they were in power, did worse things than the left-wing governments. Worse than the left-wing governments. Not that the left-wing governments didn't want to do terrible things. They wanted to. But they didn't have the power to. They didn't have the support of the people. Whereas the Likud and Netanyahu were able to do these things because people thought, oh, it's a right-wing government, it can't be too bad. For instance, Netanyahu froze for over a decade all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, our capital. East Jerusalem, the eastern part of Jerusalem, our capital. Whereas he allowed massive illegal Arab building all over the land of Israel. Disastrous, horrific policy that he imposed on the Jews in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. We would not even be thinking about the possibility of a so-called Palestinian state. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, but a so-called Palestinian state, which would be national suicide for Israel if it was created, we wouldn't even be thinking that there was, even in the future, any chance of this. Nobody would even mention the possibility of this if we had had millions of Jews moving into Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, if not for the policies of Netanyahu and the Likud, doing everything they could to stop Jews from moving to Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. To stop those Jewish communities from growing in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. So, his policies on freezing Jewish, freezing Jewish building, by the way, complete freeze in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. Even left-wing governments never did that, especially not in Jerusalem. Left-wing governments never did that. They never dared to do it. They could never get away with it. But Netanyahu and the Likud got away with it. And Netanyahu and the Likud, in addition to that, their other terrible policies included treaties with Persian Gulf Arab countries. They and Donald Trump, Pipi Netanyahu and Donald Trump, Bibi Pipi, we call him Pipi. Pipi and Donald Trump signed treaties with all these very wealthy Persian Gulf countries and with other Arab countries. And the Persian Gulf countries were ready to come into Israel and buy up Israel's economy. And all the greedy businessmen in Israel that owned these big companies were more than happy to sell and more than happy to let them buy controlling shares of their companies. They would have taken over the Israeli stock market. They were about to take over the whole Israeli economy and buy up Israel's very advanced technology created with Jewish brains. You know Jewish brains can create the greatest things. And the Arab Muslim Nazis who want to destroy Israel were about to get their hands on all of this. Because Pipi and Trump signed so-called peace treaties with them, which are not worth the paper that they were signed on. But which would enable the Arabs to come in and do so-called trade and buy and investments in Israel. The so-called investments were not investments. They were takeovers of Israeli companies and Israeli technology and Israeli industry. And that's what Netanyahu was doing. And no one spoke up against this except for JTF. No one. And Netanyahu and the Likud legitimized the idea that we could bring Arab Muslim Nazi parties that support the destruction of Israel into the Israeli government and make them part of the coalition of the Israeli government. Netanyahu invited Ra'am, an Arab party that supports the Hamas terrorists and supports the destruction of Israel and supports genocide against the Jewish people. Bring Ra'am and Mansour Abbas, Yimach Shmam B'Zichram Shem Reshaim Yirkav, to Abbas and to Ra'am. May their names be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. Netanyahu invited them to become part of his government coalition. It didn't work out. He wasn't able to put it all together, but that's what he tried to do. And he legitimized that. So now, this new government that was formed did it because they already have the precedent that Netanyahu and the Likud said it's okay to bring Arab terrorist parties into your government. And wait till you see the price that was paid to bring them in, the disastrous consequences of this. But that's all Netanyahu did that. The Likud did that. The left could never get away with that. They'd never get away. Everybody would say, you traitors, this is what you're doing. You bring Arabs that want to destroy Israel into the government. Arab terrorists. What are you, crazy? The vast majority of Israelis would oppose it if it was a left-wing government trying to do it. But Netanyahu and the Likud made it kosher, quote-unquote. And that's just some of the things that this evil government under Netanyahu did. Just an evil, evil government. Baruch shepetaranu. This is thank God that we're departing, that we're getting rid of this evil government of Netanyahu and the Likud. But, as we said, there's a concept of evil, lesser of evils, and evil, and you know, this new government coming in is also evil. Very, very bad. But at least, with this new government, we have one advantage. Netanyahu and the Likud and the phony right are going to be attacking them from the right. Netanyahu and the Likud are going to be pretending that they never pursued policies of appeasement and surrender. They're going to say, look what you're doing! So they're going to be under constant attack from the right, from the so-called right. And that might keep them in check a little bit more. But still they're very bad, very evil, and the things they're proposing are very dangerous. And here are some of the things that they've already agreed to do in their coalition agreement. Coalition agreement because there are seven parties. Seven different political parties that have gotten together, including the Arab Terrorist Party, that have gotten together to form this new government, so that they'll have the 61 seats, the majority, in order to be able to run the government. First of all, they've promised no action against illegal Arab building. The Arabs are building tens of thousands of illegal houses, building structures all over the land of Israel, taking over the land on the ground. I mean, people could talk about all types of things and make all types of speeches and declarations, which the Israeli politicians do all the time, all phony. But the Arabs on the ground are building all over the place and taking over the land each time they just take land that doesn't belong to them and start building on it and say, this is ours. And the Israeli government under Netanyahu, the Israeli governments before that also allowed a lot of this, but under Netanyahu it really got out of hand. He allowed it everywhere. And there's a law against it. There's a law fining people, giving fines to people who do things like this, to businesses and individuals that do things like this. And Netanyahu said he's suspending implementation of the law. In other words, he's basically not going to enforce the law till the year 2023. In other words, he's telling the Arabs, you got a green light to build illegally everywhere. By the way, if a Jew builds illegally, all of a sudden they come down hysterically on that Jew and give that Jew all the punishments and destroy their property and come against them, and terrible things that happen if a Jew does it, especially in Judea, Samaria, or Jerusalem. But when Arabs build illegally, Netanyahu has said, till the year 2023, we're not going to enforce the law. We're suspending the law. Suspending means what is suspending? He's just not going to enforce the law. Which, of course, is illegal. You're not allowed not to enforce laws. You're supposed to enforce laws. Imagine if a government said somewhere, well, we've decided not to arrest murderers and rapists and and criminals anymore. We're suspending the laws. Completely illegal action. But Netanyahu gets away with it, of course, and the Likud gets away with it. This new government now has come in, and basically they said they're going to do the same thing. But it's the same thing that Netanyahu and the Likud have already been doing. They're just extending it and making it from 2023. They said we're going to do it to 2025. But believe me, Netanyahu would have done it to 2025 also. No real difference, but still, it's a continuation of a terrible policy that is very dangerous for Israel. They've also announced, this new government, that they're going to give 30 billion shekels. If it passes the Knesset, God forbid, they're going to give 30 billion shekels to the Arab haters of the Jewish people who live within the pre-1967 borders, and the Arabs in the Negev, the Arabs in the Galil is the Galilee. They're going to give the Arabs in the Meshulash, what's called the Meshulash, they're going to be giving them 30 billion shekels. That's over $9 billion in assistance. Why is that so disastrous? It's disastrous because the more comfortable we make the Arabs, the less likely they are to leave. A lot of Arabs leave Israel. They're not happy. Most Arabs want to leave. They want to leave. If we just help them and encourage them, they'd get out by themselves. They're not happy there. They want to leave. And yet Israeli governments do everything they can to keep them there. Did you ever hear of such treason? We have a chance to get rid of our enemies and they want to stay there? They want them to stay there, the Israeli leaders and Israeli governments? So the more comfortable we make the Arabs, the less likely they are to leave, the more likely they are to stay and have a lot of babies and have bigger families, and encourage more Arabs to illegally enter Israel from all over the Arab world, which is something that happens all the time in Israel, and encourage other illegal aliens from Africa, like black Muslims from Africa and other enemies of the Jewish people, they come flooding into Israel as well illegally. And when you have programs like this to help the Arab sector, those programs encourage the Arabs who are there to stay, number one, number two, to have bigger families, and number three, in other words, more babies, which threatens us demographically, and number three, to encourage more illegal aliens from all over the world to come in. That's what this new government policy will do. By the way, again, in many ways, it's a continuation of the Netanyahu-Likud government. I don't want people to start saying, oh, you see? Netanyahu bragged when he was running among the Arab, he was running and campaigning for Arab votes, and he bragged, my government did much more than any other government in Israeli history to help you. And he was telling the truth. He did. Which again, everything you do to benefit the Arabs in Israel encourages them to stay and encourages other Arabs to illegally enter the country and come in. It is bad for Israel to do anything. We should make life as difficult as possible for them there, and in order to encourage them to leave, not do things to create, not create incentives for them to stay. And by the way, if I were in Israel now saying these things, it's possible that I'd be arrested. They would say, there's a law against racism and incitement and all these obscene laws. They have laws against telling the truth in Israel. You're not allowed to tell the truth. It's against the law. It's going to be against the law in the United States to tell the truth soon about blacks, about homosexuals. In many cases, you have all types of things. You get fired from your job. You're blacklisted in the community. In many cases already, it's as if it's illegal to say things about certain protected groups in the United States, but that's coming to the United States too. It's going to be coming to America soon as well. So what we have in Israel, in Europe, in Canada, eventually in the United States, that's coming as well. And in many ways, it's already in the United States. But in Israel, it's been illegal. Arabs in the Knesset are allowed to praise terrorism and mass murder of Jews and all the terrorist organizations that want to destroy Israel. They're allowed to do that. No problem. And they can sit in the Knesset. They have no problem. A Jew dares to open his mouth and say, we should just encourage the Arabs to get out, to leave. Or a Jew just says the Arabs are enemies of the Jewish people. They're Jew haters. That's all a Jew has to say, and the Jew is banned from running from the Knesset and can be arrested and put in prison. And rabbis have been arrested for saying that the Arabs are our enemy, for telling the truth. Now, this new government is also recognizing three illegal Arab Bedouin towns in the Negev. The Negev is the desert in southern Israel. And by the way, before you rush to condemn, they should be condemned, of course, for recognizing three Arab Bedouin towns. These Arab Bedouin towns, by the way, are completely illegal. Were built on Jewish land, completely illegal. Have no right to exist. All the buildings, all the homes, everything in these three towns, whole towns, are illegal. And yet, the government is going to recognize them. But guess what? Netanyahu and the Likud already promised to recognize them before. So it's just a continuation again of Netanyahu and the Likud. And they're forming a committee, this new government, they're going to form a committee for more recognizing other towns, because the Bedouin Arabs actually have at least 14 towns like this that they've built up completely illegally all over the Negev. And by the way, the Negev is in pre-1967 Israel, the tiny Israel that's only 6 to 10 miles wide at its narrowest point, tiny little Israel that's smaller than New Jersey, without Judea and Samaria. The tiny, tiny little Israel of before the 1967 Six-Day War, even there the Arabs are taking over. They're taking over the Negev, they're taking over the Galil is the Galilee, they're taking over. And they're being allowed to take over, and this government, this new government, is going to encourage them and help them and finance their takeover. Just as the Netanyahu government and the Likud did before them. And this party, Ra'am, Yamash Mambazakram Shem Rashaim Yirkab, this Arab Muslim Nazi party, Ra'am, of Mansur Abbas, Yamash Mambazakro Shem Rashaim Yirkab. This party will have power to basically have veto power, because if they leave the government, they can bring the government down. Government doesn't have a majority without them now. So they basically have veto power. And they're going to be given positions in the cabinet and all over the place. I mean, this is unbelievable. What a precedent this is. This is legitimizing those that want genocide against the Jewish people. And again, just in case you say, well, what a terrible thing that this new government is doing. You see what leftists they are. All true. But remember, who set the precedent for this? Netanyahu and the Likud is the one that first invited them to join in a government coalition, that first invited them in and made promises to them and spent hours negotiating with them. Netanyahu and the Likud are the ones that did this. They set the precedent, and now this other government is just doing what the Likud and Netanyahu tried to do unsuccessfully, but they're doing it now. They're just doing the same thing that Netanyahu legitimized. Now, the new government is terrible. The old government was terrible. What do we do? What do we do? There's no one running who's good. No one. So what do we do? Very simple. We're going to try to bring the truth to the people of Israel, and we're doing that. We have an advertising campaign with our videos, bringing the truth to the people of Israel, and we're going to continue. And we've reached millions of Jews over the past several years with our advertising campaign. Millions of Jews have seen our videos. And thousands of them see it every week. That's one thing. And we have another plan. I'm going to be giving you more details of other ideas. We're throwing around other ideas of things that we can do and things we can support in Israel. We're working on that now. I can't go into detail right now because we're still working on what we want to do. And I don't even know if I should go into detail even on future programs, because I don't want the Israeli government to come in and give us a hard time, or if we're working with people and helping people, because we do help good Jews in Israel that are trying to stop this. And I'm not talking about politicians. There are no Jewish politicians that are good. None of the politicians are good. But we do help other people on the ground that are working against the Arab takeover of Israel and the Arab invasion of Israel, and the Israeli government's complicity and support and collaboration, the collaborationist Israeli government that's collaborating with the Arab Nazi enemy. We do help people in Israel. We do want to help people in Israel. We have helped them substantially in the past, and we are going to help again in the future. I don't know if we can tell all the specific details or if we will tell all the specific details, but it is something that we do, and we're proud to do it. We have a mission in this world, a mission to make this a better world, a mission to do everything we can to redeem the world. Because one thing we say on almost every show, as grim as things seem in this generation where there's so much evil, in the long term things are not grim, things are wonderful in the long term. Because all the Nevi'im, all the prophets, and Hashem Yitbarach, God blessed be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, has promised us repeatedly and continually, has sworn to us in a brit, in a covenant that is eternal, that in the end the good guys are going to win. In the end the evil will be destroyed, the wicked people will be destroyed, and the good guys will win. But until then, because we're not there yet, until then we don't want good people to suffer. We don't want other people who are potentially could become good but are brainwashed. We don't want them to suffer. We want to save them. We want to wake them up. So we have work to do to try our best to alleviate the suffering, to bring some truth to the world in a world of darkness, some light to the world in a world of darkness. This is our mission. This is what we're here for. Because every one of you has a higher calling. Every one of you has something more important than just going to work and getting a paycheck every week. Every one of you has something more important to do than just paying your bills and doing the other things that people do in their lives every weekend. Certainly just entertaining yourself and, I don't know what people do on the internet, watching television. I don't know what people do to entertain themselves, whatever you do. You have a higher calling. You have a higher calling that, of course, you have to take care of your family and your loved ones. That's number one. That's your first priority. But when you're finished with your family and your loved ones, you have to find time and money and ability to help make this a better world. That's a higher calling that is bestowed upon all of us, Jew and Gentile. And if we do that, then we're doing what's right in the eyes of Hashem, of God. Because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. We can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.